Amen. It's good to see everybody. How many of you glad you're in God's house today?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We're not going to ever have another August 13th, 2017, so we need to make the most of it today. Amen. That's why I want us to have a good time when you come to church. Okay? Don't come to church and just get all sad and downcast. This should be a time where you're happy and you got a smile on your face and you're rejoicing, amen.
Amen.
Shouldn't be a time where you come and sit there and look like you just lost your best friend or something like that. Be happy. Put a smile on your face, amen. And for crying out loud, stay awake this Sunday, amen. Amen. Yeah, hey, you regular sleepers, you know who I'm talking about, amen. So that's the good thing about up here. I get to see everybody. I see everybody's expression. When I say something crazy, I see some of our ladies go. And when I, you know, when it really gets, I get a little long-winded, I've got a few back there that are like this. And I mean, hey, it's all good though, right? Amen? It's all good. Guys, we're going to continue with part two of the series I started last week called Building a Life Driven by Faith.
Amen.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
You cannot believe in a God you cannot see, and you cannot please a God you cannot see without faith.
Amen.
Faith, the size of a grain of mustard seed, is all you need. You know why God talked about a grain of mustard seed? It's one of the smallest seeds you'll ever come in contact with, but it can grow into a huge plant. So with just a little bit of faith, guess what you can do? You can grow into that person that God wants you to be. You can grow and you can thrive, but guys, it's going to take faith. You cannot do it without faith. Without faith, the Bible says you cannot please God. It doesn't say you might not please Him. It says you cannot please God. So, I ask you this today. Do you have a life that is driven by faith? Now, we have faith in some areas of our life, don't we? Oh, it's not a problem having faith when things are going good. We got plenty of faith then, right? But when our life takes a sudden turnaround, a certain turnabout, that's when our faith gets tested. That's when we have to look out and say, God, I don't understand this, but guess what? I'm going to trust you anyway. You know why? Because you're you and I'm me, and I don't know what you're doing, and I don't need to know what you're doing because you're in charge of this universe, amen? You're in charge of everything in this world. Now, last week, if you remember, I just want to refresh your memory. I've got 6 points in this series of sermons I want to talk about. We talked about point one and two last week. Today, we're going to talk about three and four. Last week, we talked about believing when we don't see it, and we talked about obeying when we don't understand it. Guys, there have been a lot of things in my life I did not understand why they happened. But if I believe in my God, I'm going to have faith in Him no matter what happens in my life. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not going to falter. I'm not going to turn and run away from the church. I'm going to run to it. Amen. I'm going to run to Jesus because He's got His arms open for me. I'm going to trust Him and I'm going to believe Him. You know why? Because I love Him. He is my Lord and Savior. And I'm not ashamed to say that. If you're ashamed to say that Jesus is your Lord and Savior in front of somebody because you just don't know how they may react, then you don't have the faith it takes. I'm going to be honest with you. You've got to have enough faith and be bold enough to share God with other people and not be afraid of what they may say about you. Because guess what? In this world, we're going to face those kind of things. And we're going to have the kind of faith it takes. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. I mean, if you're glad we got God's Word to stand on, amen?
Amen.
You know, the problem with the world today is we got God's Word to stand on, but some people are standing beside it. They're not standing on it. You stand on that rock and you believe God's Word, and guess what? Your life is going to be a whole lot better than it might be if you're standing beside His Word. Because see, when you stand beside His Word, that tells me one thing. God, I'm going to trust You with 90% of what You're doing, but there may be just a little bit that I want to try to handle myself. I want to try to do it my way. Guys, you got to be all in for Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Can't be any 90%. We got to have 100%. Put your whole self in, amen. Y'all recognize that saying? Put your whole self in. I believe in that when it comes to serving God. All or nothing, baby. All or nothing. I'm coaching right now a little bit, amen. Got to have all or nothing. I mean, you can't just decide, God, I'm going to have faith in You today because, man, I woke up and I feel good today. Then all of a sudden your world just comes crashing in. Where's your faith then? Do you still have it? Do you still have it? I like to call Hebrews chapter 11 the faith chapter. And inside this chapter, chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, I believe, I like to entitle it, and many other theologians and pastors entitle it this, the Hall of Faith. The Hall of Faith. Not the Hall of Fame, but the Hall of Faith. There are a lot of men and women, great faith people in the Bible that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to talk about a few of them today. So we're going to go through this Hall of Faith scripture, and we're going to talk about some of these Hall of Faithers right here. That may not be a word, but that's what I'm going to use anyway. Amen. All right, so we're going to talk about the Hall of Faith a little bit. Last week we read up through verse 7. Let's pick up today with verse 8. We're going to talk about Abraham for just a second here, and then we're going to move through. I want you to read this whole entire chapter over the next week or two, because this is where we're going to go. Now, next week, we're going to finish up this series at homecoming here. So please be here to see to hear this because next Sunday we're going to talk about those last two points. Okay, I'm going to ask all of you who can, if you will, stand to your feet in reverence and honor to the reading of God's Word. We're going to begin with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after received for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the truth of it. I just pray now, Lord, the next few minutes, it'll be nothing about me, but all about you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. You see old Abraham. Abraham, the father of many nations. His descendants, God told him, are going to be more numerous than the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Called him out of his comfort zone to go to a land he had nothing to do with, didn't know anything about it. Guess what he did? He didn't say, well, I don't know. I just don't know if we got enough money to make it. I just don't know if I don't know if that's a good thing. I'm comfortable here. I enjoy where I live here. He said, "Let's go." He, his family, they packed up what they had and they set out to a land that they didn't know anything about. Set out to it, not knowing where they were going. They trusted God, and guess what? Along the way, during all this time, here's Abraham and Sarah, prayed for a child for years and years. Can you know what God did? He said, okay, I'm going to give you one, but I'm going to wait till one of you is 100 and the other one's 95 before I let you have them. Now that's crazy, isn't it? Could you imagine being a parent at 100 years old, first kid? Woo! I can't imagine it at 25 years old, amen? Let alone 100. But God was faithful in his promise. So here he was, so old that, you know, he couldn't even really, he's not even supposed to be having kids, had a kid. And then God said when Isaac was a young boy, he said, take him up that mountain. I want you to lay him down on that sepulcher up there, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. Now, I gave you this child. You know what Abraham did? He marched right up that mountain. In fact, along the way, Isaac said, where's the animal we're going to sacrifice, Dad? I don't see it. Abraham said, God will provide, knowing all along in his heart that God was talking about sacrificing his own son. That took faith. But you know what kind of faith Abraham had? He had enough faith that he believed that if God was going to have him sacrifice the son, that he promised him that he would resurrect him from the dead. Amen. Now that's faith. That's faith. How many of you as moms and dads would take your child, and if God was leading you to sacrifice your child and sacrifice them on an altar? You wouldn't do it, would you? It'd be difficult to even think about it. Abraham, great man of faith. Guys, I'm going to tell you, we're going to pick up with our notes here right now. There's always a risk attached to faith. There's always a risk that's attached to faith. Always a risk. This is where most of us have a problem. We want some kind of guarantee from God. God says to go, but we say, okay, but I'd like for you to do this first, God, if you don't mind. That's not faith. That's not faith. When we want certain things, when we want signs and wonders, that takes the faith component away from it. So you see, a lot of times we want to see something before we actually go out and do what God's called us to do. God wants us to believe even when we don't see, and obey when we don't understand. That's tough, isn't it? I can't see if my loved one is going to make it. They're sick. They've been in a terrible accident. I don't know if they're going to live or not, but I'm going to trust God that He's going to do the right thing here, and I know He will. I'm going to believe that I serve a God who's got my best interest at heart, no matter what situation I'm going through. You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that tell us to do things that don't make sense, right? A lot of things in the Bible, when you read them, they don't make sense from a worldly perspective, do they? They don't make a lot of sense. For example, when people hurt us, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to forgive them. Amen. Jesus said that. Do we do that? Not all the time. There's some people, I guarantee you, still holding grudges against people that you've been holding them against for years and years and years. You just refuse to let go of them. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, forgive them. Do good to those who mistreat you. Love your enemies. But the world says, hey man, go get back at them. You didn't deserve that. You need to go and punch them right in the face right now. That's what the world will tell you to do. But if you want to, that's why I said, you can't be 90% God and 10% world, because if that 10% of the world that's still in you is telling you to hate your brother and hold bitterness against your brother, then you're still a little bit in the world. You don't have enough faith to trust that God is gonna move you through that point in your life. The natural thing is to get even, to retaliate against these people. That's what the world would say. Oh, just go retaliate against them. Go get back at them. Get even with them. Here's the point, guys. If we learn to obey God, even when it does not make sense, then we're building that foundation of faith for life. If we can learn to trust God, even in the times when it does not make sense, we are building that foundational faith in our life. If you believe that, say amen. It's true. You must believe even when it doesn't make sense. There's been a lot of things in my life that didn't make sense, like I said, but I didn't ever stop doubting God. I didn't ever run away from God. I didn't ever say, God, do you know what you're doing? No, I know He knows what He's doing. And I know if I'll be obedient to Him, He's going to do that through me, and a great thing's going to be worked through me, even if it may seem chaotic to the rest of the world. Even if it may seem senseless to the rest of the world. The third component I want to talk about today is this. Faith is giving when we don't have it. Woo-hoo. I'm fixing to get on a topic right now that some Baptists and every other kind of church member in the world today don't like to talk about. It's the topic of giving. Guys, let me just say something right here. I want to ask you a question today. Raise your hand if any of this pertains to you. How many of you walked to church today? Raise your hand. How many of you have not eaten anything in 2 or 3 days? Raise your hand. I'm talking about because you didn't have it. How many of you came to church today in tattered and torn clothes because you didn't have anything to wear? But yeah, how many of you slept outside last night because you didn't have a place to stay? I didn't see any hands go up. You know why? Because God has provided for you. Amen? God provides for His children. If you are putting God first in your life, He's already promised to take care of your needs. Now, why don't you want to give back to Him? What's the problem? What's the problem here? You see, just like obedience and faith go together, so does giving and faith. God uses our finances to test our faith. boy, he loves to test our faith in that area, doesn't he? God uses our finances to test our faith. Our choice to give is huge in helping us build a life driven by faith. You know what I believe God's philosophy is on this? Here's what I believe. We're going to trust Him to take care of us, or are we going to lean on our own understanding of the situation? Guys, let me tell you something. We're going to talk about it in just a minute. If all you do is look at your checkbook every month, you're never going to give the way God wants you to give. You're never going to give. If all you do is, instead of giving from your first fruits, you give of your last batch, you're never going to give the way God wants you to give. You're never going to have the faith it takes to drive that part of your life. If all you're concerned with is the scraps that you have left, after God has given you transportation, He's given you clothing, He's given you somewhere to live, you're still going to treat Him that way. You're still going to treat Him that way. Let me tell you something. There's a man by the name of Abel in verse 4 of this scripture that we read. This was Adam and Eve's son. Abel was a shepherd. He tended flocks. You know the story. His brother Cain ended up killing him. He got jealous. You know why? Abel didn't do anything spectacular, but he's in the hall of faith here. You know why? There's no special achievement attached to what he did. You know why he's there? Because he gave. Because he gave back to God. That landed him in the hall of faith right here. He really didn't do anything great. The only thing attached to his name besides his death is his giving. Is his giving. He gave. Is that going to be attached to our name when we die? Oh man, he was a cheerful giver, boy. He gave back to God. God blessed him. And he gave back as much and even more than he really should have gave back to God and his kingdom. You see, I know what some of you are thinking out there right now. I'm not giving to that church. I don't know where that money goes. Well, let me tell you something. See, the devil's done put that thing there trying to trip me up so I can't say what God wants me to say. Amen. Listen, let me tell you something. Here's the deal. God does not need our money. Let me just clue you in on that. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. He is looking for obedience from us. He's looking for obedience from us. He doesn't need it. You may say, well, I don't know where that money's going. Let me tell you something. Every second Sunday of the month, we have a church conference here. We're going to have one today. We hand out a piece of paper called a financial report. Every penny that goes through this church is on that report. And not one cent of it is being used for foolishness. It's all going to God's kingdom in one way or another. So to use that excuse means, number one, you're not looking at that statement, or number two, you don't want to hear that message. Okay? I just got to be honest, guys. I just got to be honest here. You know, it wasn't what Abel gave that pleased God, but it was how he gave it. It wasn't the amount, but rather his attitude. It was his attitude about how he gave. Abel said, okay, God, I'm ready to give you an offering, but I'm not going to give you this sick little lamb over here that I'm going to sacrifice. No, I'm going to give you the first fruit of my flock. I'm going to give you one of the healthiest lambs I've got from the fat of this flock. I'm going to give to you. Now here's Cain over here. Well, God, I'm going to bring you some corn. Now Cain was a farmer now. He grew stuff. Okay? He grew stuff. And here's how I think this thing went down. The Bible doesn't really say it, but God found favor in Abel's offering. He did not find that kind of favor with Cain's offering. Here's why I believe that happened. Because Cain did not give of his first fruit. He gave of a little of what he had left, thinking God was going to be happy with that. Guys, are you giving all you can give? If not, God's probably not happy with that. If you could be doing more. Let me ask you this question. How many of you on a cell phone, raise your hand? Come on, everyone. How many of you like to buy new clothes a good bit? Raise your hand. I've got my hand up too. I'm raising mine, okay? I see, I got my hand up. How many of you drive a pretty nice vehicle? Raise your hand, okay? All right. How many of you live in a nice house? Raise your hand. Okay? All right. So would you say God's pretty well blessed you? Okay? Now let me ask you this. When it comes time to give back to Him, are you thinking about those things? Or are you simply saying, hold on a minute. Dropping just a little bit in the plate. Are you really thinking about what God's done for you, and you know good and well that you've got something you could be giving back to Him, but you're holding on to it? Well, let me let you in on another truth here. It ain't going nowhere with you when you take your last breath.
Amen.
Amen? You believe that, say amen. Let me tell you what's going to happen to it. You're going to leave it to somebody else, and woo, they're going to have a party with that stuff. Amen. We're going to kick a leg up. You think you're leaving it to somebody's going to take care of it? You wait till they get in a pinch. They'll sell that stuff so quick it'll make your head spin. You know how I know that? I've seen it. Don't think you're leaving it to some entity that's going to do great things with it. When they get tired of it, bam, it's gone. And here you were. You could have done great things while you had it. But you chose to hold on to it. Guys, you got to have faith in your giving. We can give by two ways, reason or revelation. We can give by two ways, either by reason or revelation. Guys, when we give by reason, here's what we're doing. We look at our bank account, we figure out what we can afford. Well, you afforded that cell phone, you afforded that house, you afforded that car, you afforded those new clothes, you afforded that food you're eating. But see, we don't want to look at it from that perspective. When we give by revelation, we're doing it by God's word and prayer. Amen. When we give that way, we're looking at it that way. Giving beyond this is your offering. Guys, giving what you feel led to do by God is your tithe, if you want to call it that. And let me just tell you what I think about tithing. If you want to tithe 10% of your income, that's one of the best things you'll ever do. God will continue to bless you the rest of your life. But let me tell you what the New Testament says about giving. Be a cheerful giver. Don't give out of compulsion. Don't give because you feel guilty. Be a cheerful giver. You see, when we're giving an offering to God, we not only have given Him what we felt led to give Him, we're giving beyond there. I don't like for a Sunday to come that I don't give something back to God. I may have already given my tithe, but that doesn't mean that's it. Boom, I gave my tithe. I'm done for the rest of the month. No, God keeps blessing me. I'm going to keep giving back. That's just me now. But guess what? I'm going to tell you a little something. I ain't never had to want for anything. Since I've been a born-again believer, I've never had to want for anything in my life. I've given back to God. And I'm going to keep doing it. I don't care if anybody else in this church does or not. I'm going to keep doing it. You know why? Because I've seen God respond to that. I've seen God's blessings because of that. That is given by faith when you do that. It's the type of giving that pleases God. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, let me tell you what it tells us. It tells us that if we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully, we're going to reap bountifully. Guys, whatever you've chosen to give, do it with a cheerful heart. Do it with a cheerful heart. I don't care what you give, because I've already told you, God doesn't need it. Now, yes, we have bills to pay at this church. Yes, we have things we have to do through this church. But God, if He's not going to convince you that it's important, He's going to convince somebody who will listen to Him that it is. And they're going to give, and you can have to talk to God about that one day, because guess what? That's what you're going to have to do. Boy, don't you? I would not want to be sitting in front of Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ and Him saying, you know what? I blessed you with so many things. What did you do for the kingdom with that? What did you do for the kingdom with that stuff I gave you? A lot of us are going to be hanging our heads down. We're going to be like, Lord. Because really, we're not going to have any excuse, are we? We're not going to have an excuse. We're not going to have that excuse. The fourth thing is this that I believe really builds a life of faith for us, and that is faith is persisting when we don't feel like it. How many people have used the excuse, "Whoo, it's a long week, man. I'm just too tired. I just don't. I just don't think I can make it today. Let me tell you something. If Jesus had that attitude, we'd all be heading straight to hell right now.
That's right.
If he had that attitude, we'd all be heading straight to hell right now. When you're sitting at home and there's no reason you can't come and fellowship and honor God and worship God, then we got our priorities wrong. I commend everybody in this place today. You have chosen to come and worship holy God today. Amen.
Amen.
Give yourself an amen.
Amen.
We've chosen to come and do that today. Guys, the world would have us think, if it feels good to us, then do it. But guess what? If it don't feel good, I'm not going to do it. If I don't feel like it, I'm not going to church today. Forget about Jesus being beaten and spat on, a crown of thorns rammed down on his head and beat all the way up that hill. You think he felt like doing that? No, he didn't. Let me just tell you that. You know why? Because he had a fleshly part of him. He had an earthly body that went along with his heavenly soul and spirit. He felt pain. He felt tiredness. He felt hunger. But he did it anyway, even when he didn't feel like it. If we choose to live by our emotions, guys, we're going to end up being manipulated by our moods. How many of you know moody people? Woo, I'm fixing to open a can of worms here today, amen. Anybody know anybody that's moody? They're driven by moods. I feel good today, so I'm going to be nice to you. This is my bad day. Get out of here. I don't want anything to do with you. Don't talk to me. Woo! Anybody experience that with other people? You want to raise your hand, or do you dare do that today? Amen. Okay, we got some people that are willing to raise their hand on that one. Guys, don't be driven by your mood. Don't be driven by your mood. We're going to be happy sometimes. We're going to be sad sometimes. We're going to be mad sometimes. We're going to be cranky sometimes. Be driven by the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside you, amen? Be driven by that. And when you're driven by that, you're not going to be in a crabby mood. You might feel like it don't feel exactly right today, but guess what? I'm going to find something positive anyway. I'm going to find something positive. As people of faith, we're to live our lives based upon our commitments, not on our emotions. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus, you have a commitment to Jesus. You have a commitment to it. You can't let your moods and emotions override your commitment to Jesus. It's getting hot in here. Amen. About to choke up here. Amen. I know why my blood pressure fluctuates. This tie's got my external jugular vein cut down here. As people of faith, we got to live based on our commitments. Guys, real faith is persisting even when we feel like giving up. You ever felt that point? You just felt like giving up? Real faith means you're going to persist even when you feel like giving up. You're going to persist even when you feel like giving up. Sometimes we may not feel like reading our Bible or praying. I'm going to ask you another question right here. Amen. True confession time now. How many stay on your cell phone for hours every day? Raise your hands. How many of you read your Bible and pray for at least 30 minutes a day? Raise your hand. Okay, I saw a lot of hands go down on that one. So what you're saying is, your cell phone is more important than your Savior and learning of Him and growing in Him and trusting Him and praying for others and pray. Guys, don't give me that hogwash excuse. If you got time to get on that phone for hours, you got time to get in the Word. You got time to pray, amen? You got time to do it. We're just not doing it. We just come in. What's the first thing we do? Oh, let me get my cell phone out. How about come in and get in the Word? How about wake up and get in the Word? I'm going to tell you what, guys. We spend a whole lot more time dealing with worldly issues than we do with godly issues in our lives. And I'm talking about born-again believers. I'm not talking about people in the world. We got to make some priorities in our life. We cannot just sit there and let all these things and all these tools and all these gadgets. That's exactly what the devil wants. He wants you to be drawn to that thing. Because when you're drawn to that, you are drawn out of this. Amen. When you are drawn to that, you're drawn away from this. Amen.
Amen.
When you're drawn to that, you're drawn away from commitments to your family. Guys, that's what it's all about. God, family, everything else. I preach that since I came here. We got our priorities mixed up. Guys, if we only read our Bibles and pray when we feel like it, then the devil's going to make sure we never feel like it, amen? He's going to make sure we never feel like doing it. If all we do it is when we feel like it, he's going to make sure that that day doesn't come. So when you come in tired from work, but yet you feel energetic enough to get on your cell phone and stay up all night, or you feel energetic to go play games all night or watch TV all night, think about what you're saying to God here. And I don't care what time it is you choose to get in the Word and pray. I prefer the morning myself because I'm more crisp. My mind's more open. Yeah, I'm just like everybody else. When I get home at night, I sit out of my chair. I'm out. So I can't do it at that time. I got to do it at a different time. The point is, give back to God what He deserves. Give back to Him. That's the secret to success, guys. We got to keep on going. Godly men and women of faith don't become that way by accident. You didn't become a great man or woman of faith by accident. You became that man or woman of faith because God ordained something great in your life. And God wants to see it completed in your life. But guess what? We're not getting where God wants us to go because our faith is not where it needs to be. When you get to the point that when you get up every day, you're trusting God with every aspect of your life, it doesn't matter if it's finances, it doesn't matter what, then you're in the right direction. Guys, I'm not there yet. I'll just go ahead and confess. I'm not there yet. There's still things in my life that I want to try to hang on to and deal with myself. But I'm a whole lot better than I used to be, amen? You know why? Because God has a way of humbling us. God has a way of showing us that we've got to trust Him. Brother Donald, I can relate to what you're going through right now and what Della went through, what we went through. There's no greater humbler than to see one of your loved ones with a catastrophic illness and you not knowing what's going to happen to them. That will humble you. That will make you realize, I am really nothing in this game of life. It is all about you, Lord. I've got to trust you because I can't lean on my own understanding here. And guess what? God has to open our eyes sometimes to that. And we learn from that and we realize we do serve an awesome God. And something good will always happen out of something bad if we're truly called according to His purpose. Guys, these Hall of Faithers we've been discussing, they didn't get that way by accident. They persisted and they chose to take the time to develop the habits necessary to live by faith in spite of how they felt. It wasn't about how they felt. Take Moses for an example. In verse 27 of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He was thinking about God. He wasn't concerned about how mad Pharaoh was going to get. He wasn't concerned about that. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, because he trusted that person that was invisible in his life, and that was God. He knew God was going to see him through it. Guys, the key to his success was persistence. The key to his success was persistence and keeping his eyes on God the whole time. Guys, if you're taking your eyes off God, you're not being persistent in your faith. If every time something bad comes along in your life, your eyes go off of God and go on to the world in which you're living and the surroundings in which you've been introduced to, your faith is not where it needs to be right now. Guys, we're all a work in progress. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how many years you've been saved versus how many years you just are a relatively new Christian. It is a work in progress. Young people, when you get saved, your life doesn't immediately change. You're still going to do some things you shouldn't be doing. But if you got the Holy Spirit of God inside you, it doesn't matter if it's young people or old, you're going to feel convicted. And by faith, you're going to trust God that He's going to help straighten that area of your life out. And He will. You know what? So many people are close to quitting. They're ready to quit on their marriage. They're ready to quit on their job. They're ready to quit their dreams and hopes. They're even ready to quit serving God and His church. Just ready to quit. There are so many people in this world today that they live by the motto, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. No, they don't live by that. They live by the motto of, when the going gets tough, the tough get gone. We're out of here. And that's not how they live.
They want to turn and run away when things get tough. But guys, I'm going to tell you something. If you're in that situation there, your situation may seem beyond hope. It may seem beyond hope, but let me tell you something. God says to keep your eyes on Him and keep faith in His promises. His promises are for eternity. God does not make a promise He will not keep. If you believe that, say amen. He does not make a promise He will not keep. We do. I've heard people say before, I promise you I'm going to do this. Okay. Oh, give me one more chance. I promise I'll do it right this time. 3, 4, 5 times down the road, still doing the same thing. So, guys, let me tell you something. I just want to recap what we've talked about so far today, and I'm done. We got to believe when we don't see it. We got to obey when we don't understand it. We got to give when we don't have it to give sometimes. And we got to persist when we don't really feel like it. If you are good in all four of those areas right now, then you are living a life driven by faith. If you still need to work on some of those areas, I'm not saying you don't have faith. I'm just saying you don't have enough of it yet. And I am including myself in that category. Oh, there's some areas, man, my faith is unshakable. But there's some areas where I question things even now. And I'm trying my best to get better. And I think I'm getting better in them. But guys, I just got to trust God. I mean, I don't know what's going on here. God knows. God knows the number of our days. God knows where we're going to be 10 weeks from now, 10 minutes from now. I don't know that. So how can I lean on my own understanding? Because I don't know these things. Don't you want to put your trust in someone who knows them already? Do you realize God knows everything about you? He knew you before you even created. That's crazy, isn't it? Oh yeah, 40 years from now you're going to come into existence. Boom. That's crazy. He knows everything. So why don't we trust Him with everything? Trust Him with everything, and I promise you this. You will live a life driven by faith. Father God, I thank You, Lord. I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I thank You for every person here today, God. I pray we challenge some hearts and minds to thinking by faith, God. I pray for each and every person here today, God, that if there's any area of their life they need to work on, Lord, they'll come down to this altar today and just pray for Your help in those areas. God, help us in the area of giving. Help us in the area of understanding. Help us in the area of obedience. Help us in the area of persistence. God, I just pray You'll help change us as individuals. Because, Lord, in and of ourselves, we're not going to do it. We say we will, but we really won't. So I'm just praying for a special anointing today on Your children. God, that they'll feel the need to come and to get these areas of their life straightened out, Father. And we're going to give You all the praise ahead of time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing?
Page 224.
Page 224. Let's stand and sing page 224.